Morjesta, täällä on Mika Häkkinen, kaksinkertainen maailmanmestari Formula 1:ssä. Ja toivotan teille hyviä lukuhetkiä F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula 1. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to. Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 848, September 1st, 2020. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say welcome to the 21st century Battle of the Bulge, this time at Spa. Now back to Mr. Rogers, the patron of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, when Spa-Francorchamps produces a boring race, you know we is in a heap of trouble. How did Renault finish 4th and 5th? Interesting. LCH says F1 should fix boring race issues. We've got more from Gary Sloan in thepitlane.com. And just a quick reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you'll want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Oh, man, I am super excited. Wow. What an impressive victory for the hardest working man and team in Formula One. Did you enjoy your Belgian waffle at IHOP Sunday morning?
I did enjoy the waffles with the chicken and the gravy.
Absolutely. And you know, like we say, dishes are done and put in mom's pantry. There was so much preseason excitement about Honda and Max taking the fight to Mercedes. Now, they have done that successfully, but only against one of the drivers. The other one is turning out to be a macadamia nut. Now, I may sound like a nut myself, but here is my prediction at the 2021, next year Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. We'll be looking at F1's first 8-time world champion and 100-plus race winner. And looking into future, you and I may be sitting on a porch in Ponca City, Oklahoma, when Max breaks Lewis's record. And you said it best, if Spa is producing a boring race, something is total wrong, I must say.
Indeed. Our buddy LCH was saying if he was watching this race, he would have went fast to sleep. Which is fascinating, but he's absolutely correct. He remembers the Schumacher years where you turned it on, you watched the start, you went to sleep, and then you watched the podium. And that's where we are. My biggest worry is Max becoming a world champion. Without the package, he's a terrific kid up there at the front fighting all day long. He's really doing what Fernando did with a Renault back in the day. That car really has no business being at the front sometimes, but it's because of Max. Max is wringing the neck of that car, trying to beat the Mercedes as they giggle and wring their hands and laugh because they're very coy over there at Mercedes. They know what they have. They know they've got 2, 3, 4 more championships ahead of them, and apparently nothing is going to change for a long time. So I'm very happy for LCH. I mean, we know that he will surpass every record that exists in our lifetime. But the biggest problem It's sort of like the plumber's union. It's very hard to get in. But when somebody dies, you finally get in the plumber's union. That's how hard it is to get in. And I'm afraid that that world championship club is very hard to get in unless somebody retires and then that seat gets filled by a young whippersnapper. So that's my only concern. You know, we hate to see these young talents not get the championship that they deserve.
Oh, you are a funny guy, Mr. Rogers. You're talking so much authority like here. Have you been laying down some pipe lately that you know so much about the plumbing union?
Exactly, sir. Exactly.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, you know, I was hoping this year if Max was the champion, it would be the youngest ever world champion. I was really hoping for that. And of course, if Lewis wins, he will match Michael's record. So either way, it's going to be a very incredible season. But there is no chance, I think, next season for anybody but Lewis Hamilton to win the championship. But for the sake of Formula One and motor racing, I think for 2022, Mercedes should hire Max, whether Lewis is there or not. Because we don't want just one guy winning all the time. You know, it's great to break record, and we all know he's very good. It's time for a regime change.
Well, the biggest problem is Toto really loves Lewis, really adores number two. Why would Toto, with YouTube and all the history of Formula One, why would Toto want to open up that can we call the Senna Prost can? I don't think he wants to. He doesn't want a headache. He loves the simplicity of one guy winning everything day in and day out. It's low stress. There's not too much chaos. And it's fun for Mercedes, except that it's not great for Formula One. That's the biggest problem, is it's not great for Formula One. But you know what? Lewis winning for a few more years is definitely in the books. Max, I think, I am not sure what his father would say. Do you team up against Lewis Hamilton or not? I don't know. But it's very interesting. And, of course, there's more stories out there. Renault finally getting closer to the front of the spear. And Ferrari finally getting back to the back of the spear. Not sure what's going on there. But it is what it is.
Shall we take a look at Quali?
We should. Quali was very exciting.
Well, it was a case of winners or losers, from dominating the 2019 Belgian Grand Prix to failing to make Q3. This season, Ferrari has sadly reached a new low. With a driver talent pool, probably, in my humble opinion, more stronger than any other team, I think it's time for a new Chef Boyardee at Ferrari to cook a new winning recipe. Breaking on through the other side.
Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
We have the Benz boys, or at least one of them, setting new records, race by race, collie by collie. As Lewis said, this was very interesting. After cruising to his 93rd pole position, it was getting better after each lap. So comforting for competition and fans crying out for fight at the front. Now, what was impressive, Lewis's pole time was 1.3 seconds faster than Leclerc's pole at Spa last year. Amazing. The difference between number one and number two, or as we say in palatial studios, between ace and Avis drivers, was shown in the times between respective teammates. Half a second is either very, very impressive or very, very embarrassing, depending on what driver you are supporting. In racing, you are a very fast driver if you can be within half a second of your teammate, especially when the name on the other car starts with L, not as in Lucy but Lewis, or S or V. So nothing to be ashamed of, in my very humble and very slow opinion. On a positive note, both McLarens in Q3 Next season, they go back to Mercedes engines. Hopefully, we will see a McLaren win soon. And that would mean some curry and naan celebration with Dr. Mark, who, as we all know, is a big McLaren fan. Both Renault and Racing Point cars were in the top 10 of the grid, which is good. Now, here was the big event in the life and times of Daniel Kvyat. He out-qualified his teammate Pierre Gasly for the first time this season. I think Torpedo may be torpedoed by Dr. Marco at the end of 2020. Sir, before the start of the race, before the weekend started, there was talk of some rain, and I was really hoping it would come, but it was a dry race. Did you like the start?
Well, I mean, the start was fine. Like you said, we were all hoping for a rain. I think the entire world of racing was hoping for rain, so we would get some kind of mix it up, challenging, exciting Formula One Grand Prix. But for some reason, the gods are having none of it. No rain in Spa. Without rain, Mercedes is going to fly away with everything. So I'm bumming out. We need rain anywhere, everywhere. Wherever we go, we need rain because we're going to Monza next. And boy, it's not going to be pretty.
Well, cars going through Eau Rouge, rain or no rain, is the most beautiful sight in racing. I think we can agree on that. This day and age of Mercedes, Uber domination, once you come out in the lead after the first corner, you are pretty much on your way to yet another victory, especially if it is car number 44 and driven by a driver most respected by Nando. Now, Nando is such a creature, whether he's in Formula One or Formula Indy cars or Dakar, somehow he ends up on our podcast, so we like that. At the end of the opening lap, I saw this and I said, okay, this is over now. At the end of the opening lap, Lewis was out of the DRS range as he was already 1.4 second ahead of Valtteri. And that pretty much was the story of what Max Verstappen called boring Belgian Grand Prix. Can you imagine a Grand Prix or a race at Spa being boring? But we have come to this. But I'm sure excitement for Max will be sky high if tomorrow Toto calls him and puts him in Mercedes F1 team next to Lewis, especially. Lap 11, Antonio Giovinazzi crashes out on his own for the second year in a row at Spa. Last year he crashed out on the last lap, and I think his Grand Prix goose is cooked. A loose wheel from his car took out George Russell. It was good to see both drivers walk away in good shape. Russell saying he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. As much as I dislike Halo, the incident showed it was time for it. Now the safety car gave Bottas another chance to pounce on Lewis at the restart, but Wingman had to deal with check 6 as Max is on a mission to split the Mercedes drivers. Question for you, sir. Would you like to see Mick Schumacher or Nico Hülkenberg replace Giovinazzi?
I think both Hülkenberg and Schumacher will be at Alfa Romeo next season.
Yeah, I'm not holding out that Kimi Raikkonen will stay, but I will be very, very surprised. I will not be surprised if he stays because he has all that experience, but I will be very surprised if they keep Antonio Giovinazzi. On lap 15, the highest place Ferrari was Sebastian Vettel in 12th place. Wow. A lap later, he was passed by ex-teammate Kimi in an Alfa Romeo. Mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what they used to be. This was my favorite part of the race. 5 laps later, the Dickens boy asked for more. More power, that is. But Bottas was told, "We agreed not to use against each other." His immediate response was, "I did not hear that." Sometimes love can be unkind. About 10 laps to go, it was a sad sight to see Seb smoking up, trying to make a move on one of the Alfa Tauris, then telling his team, "I'm going to get eaten up." I thought that was already done last year by Charles. There was some excitement with few laps to go. We may have another Silverstone scenario, tires going done, blowed up. because both Max and Bottas were experiencing vibrations, and they were not the only ones. And then another sad scene, 5 laps to go. Charles Leclerc was 15, the guy who won the race last year, and chasing Romain Grosjean. Sunday was their lowest finish, there being a Ferrari team. Lowest finish since the 2010 British Grand Prix. And you know, Ferrari at Spa this year, they were the only team who were putting in time slower than what they had last year. So this race was a complete disaster for them. So much so that Sam Collins, one of the F1 pundits on Sky TV, said, best Ferrari can do now is go to Vatican and pray. And I'm not even sure if ringing the bells will help them at this stage. What say you?
Well, they need a complete overhaul. There's some questioning of decision-making from the top down. And I hate to say this, but everybody must go. I don't care if they're nice people. I don't care if they're stinky people. You got to clean house and start all over again from the very beginning. You got to go back, as they say, to the fundamentals.
Yeah, the people who go to these races and, you know, who know a lot more than people sitting 12,000 miles away, they are saying they're not, we all know, obviously, with the engine clamp down, which came into effect at the US Grand Prix last year, and Max made that wonderful comment, that's what happens when you cheat. But, you know, the experts are saying that the aero is also not working. So it's just a very, very sad scene, and I don't know what they need to do here, but I don't think they're going to be any threat to LCH. Forget this season, next year also, the way things are going. And as far as our, you know, everybody's favorite driver, Bottas, is concerned, he was second. He needs a BB King CD.
Thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away.
The thrill and championship is gone. Best he can do now is keep Max from being the top man behind LCH at the end of the season. I don't know. I'm not sure that Bottas can recharge his batteries and come back strong next season. But it was interesting in the, you know, he has always been a very classy guy. After the race, when he was interviewed and asked about him saying he did not get that memo, he said that he may not have heard when it was said. But I have a suggestion for him. You know, Jacques Villeneuve went into music business. Lewis Hamilton has recorded an album. I think one day Bottas, Fisico, Irvine, Barrichello should all travel to Memphis and record a song. I was world champion if my team entered only one car. Do you see any championship Bottas next season? This year is gone for sure.
With a teammate like LCH, it's just the way it is. I think he should just enjoy his career. He's made a lot of money. Bottas, I mean, you know, he doesn't have a record like Hulkenberg to haunt him. He's had a successful Formula One career. Continue with that career. You have to accept that there are no world championships for you.
And, you know, he was pretty happy on his social media saying that he now has same number of podiums as his childhood friend, who later became his an investor and manager, Mr. Mika Hakkinen. And, you know, the only way he can be world champion, if Lewis does a Rosberg at the end of this season, and then they hire like George Russell or Esteban Ocon at Mercedes, and maybe with experience he can become world champion. But if Lewis goes and they bring in Max, then it's going to be even worse scenario.
Yes, I mean, he doesn't want to be a part of that. Bottas should just end his career when Lewis ends his career.
And speaking of Max, he was third on the podium 6 races in a row, just like LCH. But he is suffering from Fernando virus. All that talent, and like you said at the end, the top of the show, no package. The GP2 engine showed some oomph even in AlphaTauri. Let's hope Max can do the Monza magic this coming weekend. One more year with same rules and regulation mean more inspiring performances from Max. And this is the only positive side of LCH domination, but not lost in translation. More inspiring performance means from Max, he really does not have the car to beat the hell out of LCH. So that's going to mean more wins for LCH, something we all know. Now, sir, you must have been very happy with the yellow cars.
Well, yeah, apparently they've found a setup that really suits the Renault in a low downforce configuration. So at Monza, Ricciardo could do very, very well.
Yes, the smiling assassin strikes again, this time in the form of fastest lap on the final lap. And he said this was probably the fastest lap he ever drove in his life. And this is the first fastest lap for Renault in the hybrid era. And they sure have come a long way from the time Dr. Marco and Christian Horner were beating them race by race. And of course, Jenny Boy was fourth and Esteban Ocon fifth, which is not a surprise. Yeah, you know, this thing, I want to tell you something. You know, there is a seat opening up at Mercedes soon in a year or two. And it most likely, based on what we are seeing these days, will be between Russell and Ocon. But if Ocon cannot match, if he cannot match Ricciardo, I don't think he's going to match Alonso. You know, because Alonso is coming back to a team where he became the machismo, and that whole team is going to dance around Fernando. They will do their flamenco dance around Fernando. So if he cannot get ahead of Ricciardo, I think it'll be very challenging to get ahead of Alonso. And if Toto sees that back-to-back, he can bring him on as the French. From a Finnish wingman, he can bring a French wingman. That's all that will happen there. But, you know, Clark, the biggest threat to George Russell, and again, it's not something I wish on these people, but biggest threat to Russell and Ocon are young talents who are probably now, as we speak, in their final year of karting, or those who are in Formula 3 or Formula 2, Formula 4, because if one of these kids, and there are some out there that I've been following for a few years, but they have not really delivered, so they are fading away, but somebody can come and do a Max, you know, first year in Formula 3 wins 10 races, and then everybody will be jumping at them, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. There's some good talent, like Ilott. He's going to be coming up the ranks. No, that's the biggest problem. That's why I'm worried about Max. There's more talent slowly coming into Formula One in the next few years. And by the time Lewis puts up 8, 9, 10 world championships, boy, you know, who knows where Max will be. It's a tough life out there in Formula One. We all know that. So I think Red Bull really needs to pump it up in the next 2 years to really get Max a chance, because without that chance, there's just no other teams to go to.
Yeah, but you know, as far as talent is concerned, I don't see anybody in the next 5 years being at the level of the talent Max has, but he has to get into the best car, which right now is Mercedes, and maybe another season too. But and it's one of those things, you know, if he ends up, or whoever is guiding him, let's say if he leaves Red Bull and goes to, let's say, Mercedes when they come the 2020 rules and regulation, and let's say some other team gets it very, very right, then you're in the doldrum. But this guy is so talented. All they need to provide him is a car that is 0.1. I think if he has a car that's 0.1, 0.2 second, then he can hustle and get a championship. But a car that's half a second slower, that even he cannot do, especially when you're going against Lewis Hamilton. But it really speaks for situation that if Bottas was number one driver at Mercedes today, and let's say number two was, you know, Heikki Kovalainen or Fisico, wouldn't it be amazing that in a second tier package, Max Verstappen becomes world champion?
It would be exciting. I mean, we're all hoping for some excitement. I think a lot of this is going to be addressed in the off season. I mean, to be honest, you know that LCH is, he's severely bored. always winning. He, you know, because people forget, Lewis Hamilton is also a Formula One fan, not just a driver and a world champion. He wants excitement. And I think he wants a challenge. I mean, he would like to be racing and fighting and overtaking back and forth till the very last lap. I think a lot of this is going to be talked about behind closed doors after this season because, I mean, it's not good for sponsorship. It's not good for viewership. And we want to get new viewers involved. So it's very interesting. And I think Lewis, having remembered the Schumacher years, he knows that eventually his reign will end. The situation is it might not end for 2 or 3 or 4 more years until he finally hangs up his hat. So it's very interesting, but we'll see where Toto goes. Because Toto, his career may change very quickly at the end of this season or the end of next season. He's probably looking for new challenges because, you know, winning every race, every weekend, not only affects the driver, but the entire team. And how long does Mercedes want to win every race? I could remember Renault pulling out of F1 because they had won everything. After a while, you need to step back. And I don't know. We'll see. They've signed the Concord Agreement for another 5 years, so obviously Mercedes is sticking around. The new recipe that's coming up in 2022, people are hoping that they may change everything. But on the other hand, it may change nothing except for what we're looking at. It's going to be different cars, different scenarios. But in the end, it's going to be the same old thing, except for Ferrari not being at the front. I hate to say this, but Mercedes is going to dominate for a long time to come.
You know, one scenario I can think of where things might change, not a whole lot, because that package is so strong. Now, Lewis has not signed a contract with Mercedes after this season, but most likely he will. But if he signs a 3-year contract, then everybody is totally screwed. But if it comes out that, you know, they will put a political or nice spin on it, if he ends up signing a 1-year contract, then that would tell me that maybe Mercedes offered him, you know, a 50% reduction in pay. And of course, when you're making $50 million, you're going to feel and cry at $25 million like one baseball player did because he was only making like $6 million and he was crying on national TV, you know. And of course, that famous comment from an NFL player who was also making millions, I have a family to feed. So we'll have to see what kind of a contract, the duration of the contract. But man, if it's a 2-year or 3-year extension, then, you know, what are we looking at, 10 championships?
Easily 10 championships. It's very possible that Lewis might not want to sign 2 or 3 years because he may want to go drive for a different team to finish his career.
And call it, I'm seeking a new challenge.
Correct.
Yeah, but I think what they should really do, because, you know, you were saying, why would Mercedes bring earlier Max into the team? If your driver has all the records, 8 or 9 championship, 112 Grand Prix wins, 150 pole position, do it for the sake of sport. But then again, you know, a young guy beating Lewis Hamilton, who's been around for a while, may not be fair competition, but that's what we need right now. You know, we need some cage rattling, and that's what we are missing.
I totally agree. We're missing lots of cage rattling. I mean, we're seeing some in terms of Bottas and Albon and Ocon, but it's not that exciting. And Ferrari, I mean, I really don't care if Leclerc out-qualifies Vettel and can't make it to Q3. It's pointless, but that's another story for another podcast. So why don't we listen to Gary Sloan from InThePitLane.com.
Hello, listeners. My name's Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So with the Formula One season now in full swing, tyre supplier Pirelli is beginning to feel the heat after tyre failures at the British Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton is on Pirelli's case. Pre-season he said, Pirelli must produce better tyres for the 2021 season. He also added, "We just need to make sure that we always want to be working with the best technology partners." At Spa, Hamilton commented that the drivers are constantly complaining about overheating tyres that they cannot use to push consistently, which he says is also a factor in F1's lack of close racing. So with all this public scrutiny, why do tyre manufacturers want to be involved in F1? Well, they've always justified their involvement in F1, either claiming they wish to be involved in a technology duel with rival makers, or to showcase their technology. The awarding of the contract is a two-stage process. Firstly, the FIA scrutinises tenders to establish they meet with their technical and safety requirements. Then the successful tenders are provided to Liberty Media, who conduct the commercial negotiations. To this end, Pirelli sweetens the deal with a sponsorship commitment of around 120 million euros per year, spent 50-50 on track activities and trackside marketing race sponsorship. Pirelli has embarked on a new business strategy, which will see the company focus on producing tyres for the luxury car and SUV market. Pirelli tyres are used by the likes of Ferrari, BMW and Porsche. The company expects this prestige sector to grow by 6% a year, in sharp contrast to the standard tyres, which are only expected to grow at 1%. CEO Marco Tronchi, interviewed by the Financial Times, said, "This prestige part of the market is doing better. This sector accounts for 66% of all the company's turnover in 2019. So F1 enables Pirelli to create brand awareness at the very pinnacle of motorsport, and the association with the likes of Mercedes and Ferraris aligns them with the luxury car sector. The brightly coloured Pirelli branded tyres on F1 cars is a fantastic opportunity for brand awareness. And Pirelli likes to position itself as a brand, not just as a tyre company. And to that end, it promotes its Italian heritage. But the reality is Pirelli is Chinese-owned since 2015, with the 45% shareholder Marco Polo International Italy being a holding company for state-owned China. China is particularly important to the company, with two factories in China and 12% of all sales coming from mainland China. Even so, Bridgestone, Michelin, Goodyear, Continental, Sumitomo and Hankook are all larger outfits, so Pirelli have their work cut out in the ultra-competitive world of global tyre manufacturers. Of course, the strategy only works for Pirelli when the tyres perform. The sight of Lewis Hamilton limping to victory at Silverstone with a busted Pirelli tyre in front of a global TV audience was a marketing and PR disaster. Pirelli has been there before with the infamous 2013 British Grand Prix, when they suffered no less than 7 blowouts on the car of Perez, Alonso, Hamilton, Guccirelli, Verna and Massa. And then, of course, there was a small matter of Tyregate when they were privately caught testing with Mercedes. So Pirelli must get its act together or their whole business strategy is at risk. They'll also have to keep on their toes as South Korean tyre manufacturer Hankook is aggressive in the motorsport sector, having just won the tender to supply Formula E for the 2022-2023 season onwards, beating current supplier Michelin, who have been the supplier since the start of the series way back in 2014. Hankook were also successful in winning the contract for the new W Series in 2019. So Pirelli may have more to worry about than chunking, marbling, degrading, blistering, crumbling, delaminating and graining. On a footnote, it's widely been reported during the pandemic that Pirelli's F1 chief, Mario Isola, is a volunteer ambulance driver in Milan. In fact, to the man's credit, this is something he's done for an incredible 31 years. Well done, Mario. That's it for another week. More details at inthepitlane.com. Till next week, stay safe, stay well.
Gary, keep up the good work. And now we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back after these brief messages.
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Speedgear Authentic Racewear. Speedgear is the best selection from the top teams and drivers in Formula One. Hats, shirts, sunglasses, diecast, and much more. Look to Speedgear for your favorite team and driver apparel and collectibles. Speedgear Authentic Racewear. Just click on the icon on our homepage. You know you'll want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we stay in Spa for the support races. And I got to tell you, Mr. Rogers, man, on Sunday, believe it or not, I got up at 4:30 in the morning And that was so much action, the Formula 3, Formula 2, Porsche Super Cup, and then at 9:10 local time, the big show. So my thanks to F1 website and YouTube, and there was racing from Nürburgring, and just beautiful. Anyway, we shall start with Formula 2. Yuki Tsunoda, rising son of Honda and Japanese racing, took pole position. He was the man on the track, leading from the start till he had a slow pit stop, which gave the lead to Russian Lance Stroll, and that would be Nikita Mazepin. Tremendous fight between the two, but Nikita took the checkered flag first. Then came the law. A 5-second penalty for pushing Yuki off track gave the win to the Japanese driver, his second win of the season. Mick Schumacher was third, and Yuki is a rookie in this season, doing very well. Sunday's sprint race was won by Russian Robert Schwartzman, with Mick Schumacher second, Chinese racer Guan Yu Zhu third. Schwartzman is also a rookie and retakes the championship lead. Now a word about Tsunoda. In 3 short years, he has gone from Japanese Formula 4, European Formula 3 to Formula 2, previously known as Hapidos. It is just a matter of time before we see him in Formula 1. Franz Tost has already confirmed Tsunoda will test with AlphaTauri at Yas Marina after the season finale. And if I was Daniel Kvyat, I would be sprucing up my racing resume. Formula 3 winner on Saturday was German driver Lerim Zendeli. 16-year-old French driver Theo Pourchaire was second. 4th podium of the season for this kid, and he is a rookie here doing a very, very good job. American Logan Sargeant was looking good to increase his championship lead, but had engine issues and finished 8th, losing the championship lead to another rookie from Australia, Mr. Oscar Piastri. But wait, there's more. In Sunday's race too, Sargeant was on a winning beat and reclaimed the championship lead. Now, I've not verified this, I'm not sure. If Logan Sargeant can win the European Formula 3, I think he'll be the first American in a very, very long time. So I am hoping that he can do this and hopefully can get into a competitive Formula 2 ride. In the Porsche Super Cup race, we had a Turkish delight. I've been watching these races also lately, from pole position to race winner in Ehan Can Güven. He's a young kid, and I think he won the French Porsche Cup last year, so we'll see how it works out. Japanese Super Formula, I watched a little bit of this also, but this started at like 1 o'clock in the morning my time, so it was tape delay, as they call it for me. The season opener at Motegi was won by local driver Ryo Hirakawa. This series is GP2 of Japan, very fast cars. Engines are supplied by 2 companies. First one, you guessed it, Honda and Toyota. And Ryo was a Toyota powered, the Lada. Tatiana Calderon, proud member of Sauber F1 Driver Development Program, was a solid 12th. That's what I say. Bring on diversity in motorsports. Can't win a race, can't take a taxi to Timbuktu, but I want to race in Formula 1. And that was zinger of the die, mate. Now we come to the US Indy cars. Doubleheader in St. Louis, Missouri, or as some people call it, Missouri. Scott Dixon won the opening race at the Gateway Oval over Satosa, reverse of the Indy 500 result. Race 2 was won by Joseph Newgarden over Pato O'Ward. This young Mexican is going to be an IndyCar superstar of the future. Now, you know, he was picked up by Red Bull and they threw him in some GP2 races, some Japanese Super Formula races, and he realized, or at least discovered, the depth of talent in the international series. So they let him come back here very quickly. So I think of all the drivers Red Bull have signed over the years, Pato O'Ward was really on the in-and-out program. Another impressive rookie was Dutch driver Rinus Wicke. He finished in 4th, and especially if a rookie is doing good in an oval, that's very good. And now some histoire of the, or factoire of the Belgian Grand Prix. Shall we look at some first F1 winners at Spa? Some very big names here. Jim Clark's first win came here, of course, with Lotus in 1962. Dan Gurney, he had won Formula One races before, but this was the first win and only win for his own car, Eagle, in 1967. And this next race I remember very well. It was won by Gunnar Nielsen in a Lotus. And this race took place at Zolder. And if memory serves me right, another Swede, Ronnie Peterson, was third. Mario Andretti gave Lotus 79, the ground effect car, a debut win at Zolder in 1978. Didier Pironi scored his first win in 1980, Ligier at Zolder. And of course, going back to Spa, we had the dramatic debut for Michael Schumacher in 1991 with the beautiful 7-Up Jordan. And 1 year later, his first win came here, this time with Benetton. Two other tracks in Belgium have hosted a Grand Prix, Nivelle in 1972 and 73, both won by Emerson Fittipaldi, and Zolder. Mostly remembered for the Gilles Villeneuve tragedy in 1982, and the late Tom Walkinshaw used to say, "There is nothing wrong with Zolder that a bulldozer cannot fix." And sir, what we have here now is we introduce a new segment called Marco of a Man, where we bring words of wisdom from Dr. Marco. This is what you are referring to at the beginning of the show. And we do this in appreciation of his fighting spirit in his quest to make Max world champion. He said over the weekend, and I quote, "There is no question of giving up. We have already won a world championship when we were 60 points behind Alonso at halftime. Unfortunately, Hamilton and Mercedes are in a different league than Alonso and Ferrari were then." And here is my favorite part. "But at some point, Mr. Hamilton's happiness must end." End of quote. I just hope Red Bull gives Dr. Marco lots of wings and lots of patience. He will need the latter. Thank you, sir.
Very nice, Nasser. Very nice. I like that. Dr. Marco is always a man full of wisdom.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, there is, if you do a search on YouTube, there is him listening to poor Jaime Alguersuari, who's pleading his case animated and pretty strongly, as much as you can with your boss, who is always carrying a machete. And Dr. Marco says only one thing to him. We don't accept. And, you know, shortly after, he was sent packing. Sir, let me ask your favorite question. Any predictions for Monza?
Makes perfect sense to me. Let me see. Ricciardo on the podium.
Ricciardo on the podium?
For sure. I think we're going to see the shoey. We're going to see Ricciardo on the podium. And, of course, Max and LCH, your favorite driver, Bottas, will DNF.
I would like to see Albon on the podium.
Not going to happen.
But he must have a car between himself and Lewis if he wants to get to the podium.
Yes.
That race, you know, I really love the Italian Grand Prix. Of course, it's at Monza. But the race is over in like 1 hour, 17, 18 minutes. And that's what I call a race. And I really, really enjoy that. And I got to tell you, Mr. Rogers, I've always felt this way since 1985 when I started watching Formula One races live. On the opening lap, when the cars are coming out of Curva Ascari and heading like a snake towards Parabolica, and the camera is where the Parabolica curve is, and you get that pan shot, that is the most magical, most beautiful anything I can see in this world. I just love that scene on the opening lap.
Well, good for you, Nass. And not only that, but we're in Italy for a few races, so it's going to be exciting. You're going to have to brush up on your Italiano.
Yeah, you know, when I go to Target on Saturday for my weekly grocery shopping, I'm going to get me some either pasta or pizza and some gelato so I can enjoy Italian Grand Prix at Parco Monza like a tifosi.
That's a good idea. And make sure you attend your local Catholic church afterwards.
Not before at the race?
No, you're going to, trust me, you're going to need it after.
Oh, The DNF chapel.
Exactly.
Yeah, with all these reliabilities on cars, our DNF chapel hardly gets any mention.
It's been boarded up. It's now a hot dog stand.
Oh, that is... Wow, DNF chapel has become a hot dog stand too?
Yes.
Wow.
But don't forget, we answer to a higher authority.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mr. Rogers, I have given up that the Formula One Grand Prix will ever come to Miami. Now I'm just hoping very much that we have a second race in the U.S. soon. And I would love it when they say it will be at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And from what I'm hearing is that Mr. Penske has made a lot of improvements and work in progress. So I think our next visit to Indy... Remember once we did a podcast from the... Holiday Inn at Indianapolis?
I do. That was exciting and fun.
Yes, and I very unintentionally fired your rockets when I made a comment about the F1 Weekly website, which was, you know, back in the day.
I remember that. It's called Slings and Arrows.
Yes, Mr. Rogers went ballistic like a Sputnik rocket. But we are humans, you know. We're normal. In our own way.
Exactly. That's very, very true. But Monza will be exciting, except for one thing. No tifosi. I guess if Lewis Hamilton is going to dominate the season, he's going to do it without fans.
Well, there are fans around the world, millions of them watching, so it's not a problem. But man, I got to tell you something. I think the next two races are in Italy. Is that correct? Or they're going somewhere? Yeah, it's Monza and Mugello. If he can win both these races, then he's matching Schumacher's number. And if he matches at Mugello, which will be Ferrari's 1,000 race, that will be quite a downer for the Scuderia people. But like you said, I heard that Turkish Grand Prix, they're going to allow, both at Mugello, they're going to allow a few spectators, I believe. And then Turkey is going to allow some spectators also. So we'll see how it goes. Do you like this concept of showing these virtual fans?
I don't even notice it to be. Oh, on the television?
Yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's silly. It's NFL-ish. It's nothing for me. But hey, you know, we're suave and sophisticated here at the Palatial Studios. We have to remember the little people.
Yes. Any chance of Pink Panther on the podium?
Pink Panther? No. You saw their pace at Spa. The Pink Panther is fizzling.
Yeah, it will be interesting what they announce for a driver lineup because there are some very strong reports that claim that Sebastian Vettel has signed a contract. Some are saying this is hogwash. But, you know, we're going to find out very soon.
We will find out very soon. And all that talk about Lance Stroll being the one that's going to be leaving the team is hard to believe, but Papa might just throw more millions at him and he'll go away. I don't know how this stuff works, but it's interesting how Lance Stroll was hinting that he was the guy that was going to be fired.
Well, he's doing very good, and you know, this is what happens when you have a package and you know how to drive a race car. He's not going to leave Formula One. If anything, Papa will buy him a ride at some other team. But I saw a news item today, more of a rumor or a wish or whatever an opinion, that Haas will replace their two drivers with Mick Schumacher and Nico Hülkenberg. That'll be interesting.
Well, you know, we got Mick Schumacher and Nico Hülkenberg everywhere. I mean, Hülkenberg is a possibility anywhere. So we'll see what happens. All I know is Lewis is winning and Renault has a chance to get on the podium. I'm really impressed with Renault. I think they're the best team. Right now, they've made more improvements than anybody else on the grid, and it's very, very impressive.
Wouldn't it be something if Alonso can win a championship with Renault again?
I'm afraid that's not going to happen, Nasser.
Well, not in 2021, but 2022 will be open season.
It will be open season. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't want to jinx him. So there you go. And a quick note to the listeners, we did skip the number 843 in the podcast lineup, and there's a reason for that, and the reason is 843 is Fernando's unlucky number.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Thank you very much, Nass. So there you go. Another outstanding job. Keep up the good work. I want to thank Gary for his outstanding work up in Scotland, giving it to us every week. And once again, the Motorsports Mondial, outstanding!
Thank you, sir. And I have a request for Mr. Gary Sloan. You know, if he is in Scotland, how about a trip and some pictures and a write-up on the Jim Clark Museum, please?
Keep up the good work, Nass. The suggestion has been sent. And once again, I want to thank everybody who's listening. I'll see you at the hot dog stand.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Attention. Attention. Flint has escaped. Find him. Find him.